Thought Bubble Audio.
Look up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my most relaxed he's ever been during a podcast friend, Frank.
This is the best idea you've ever had.
Oh, isn't it?
Hi, everyone. I'm going to give you a little peek behind the curtain of what's going on here.
Yeah.
Tim. Tim is a brilliant man. So as you guys may have figured out by now, sometimes we record at my place, sometimes we record at Tim's place. We both have the equipment to do it.
Yeah.
And Tim rearranged the furniture in the room that we use as a podcast studio at his home. And it looks wonderful, by the way.
Thank you.
And perhaps the best part of this is that there are two comfy, easy chairs.
Yeah.
Where we have managed, and Tim thought of this himself, I can take zero credit, to arrange our mics in such a way that we can sit in these comfy, easy chairs, like a couple of gentlemen with a little coffee table between us, a little lamp, and instead of sitting across the table from each other, we're sitting in these comfy chairs.
These super comfortable chairs.
Sipping on a Jägermeister.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing. It is, I can honestly say, the best podcasting experience I've already had. And we're only a minute and 15 seconds into it. So.
I think I can't even stop laughing about it. And I haven't even sipped any of my Jägermeister yet. The only thing that's really missing from this experience is like, I just want to be in front of a fireplace.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And so next step, moving my electric fireplace that my TV sits on in the living room and bring it in here. Yep.
One step at a time.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I think it's super heavy.
Probably not a good idea.
Not doing that. So we're sipping some Jägermeister, and I made you, we made each other.
Aww.
Breakfast for dinner.
We had
breakfast dinner because we're going to talk about some Saturday morning cartoon.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not have breakfast, Saturday morning breakfast, while you watch Saturday morning cartoons?
You texted me. Was it you? No.
It was me.
It was you, yeah.
It was me.
You texted me earlier this week on the...
I don't know, it was a couple days ago.
A couple days ago, and you said, you know, Batman the Animated Series premiered 20 years ago today.
25 years ago today. Yeah, which is even crazier.
Crazy.
In that
crazy
perspective.
1990, it would, 1991. No, that wouldn't be, no. Is it 1991?
Mm-hmm.
Really? No, it's 92.
24 years, son. Sorry, 24.
Yeah, it's 24 years. Okay, yeah. 92. Right, so 24 years ago, premiered. Now it was a nighttime premiere.
It was a primetime premiere.
Seven o'clock. Santa's coming to town.
September 5th, 1992 was the date. So yeah, 24 years.
Yeah, 24 years ago, premiered with On Leather Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I was confused when we talked about this because I remember The Cat and the Claw being the first episode that premiered, but that was to been the afternoon.
Yeah, the Saturday, like normal time slot.
Yeah,
was the Cat and the Claw.
I think it actually came on after school. I think it was like 4 o'clock or 4:30 or something like that. And so I don't know. Maybe that was moved to a later season. I can't remember exactly. But when it started up, it was the it was Cat and the Claw. And not On Leather Wings. But it still holds the question. You had said this earlier, because we just watched it, just to remind ourselves. And you said this, like, why would you start with Man-Bat?
Yeah, so the villain in On Leather Wings was Man-Bat. And it was like, I guess I wasn't even like questioning it, but just sort of like, it did strike me like that's an interesting choice. That's a very interesting choice.
Well, and I never really thought about it until you posed the question.
Yeah.
But so my answer is I have a twofold answer, which knowing me, it's probably a fivefold answer.
The more folds, the better.
Yep. That's not what I say about my laundry. Onefold.
Onefold, that's it.
Just over or to the side. No. So my understanding is that because you're technically introducing your audience to Batman for the first time, arguably, right. Let's say it's their first experience with Batman, then you don't want a villain that is super over the top or could potentially draw attention away from Batman. You want something that's, you know, almost simplistic in its way. Man-Bat doesn't even speak. He just screeches. So in that way, your soul focus is only on Batman, really, apart from, like, quote unquote, the monster.
Right.
Second fold, it allows conflict for, you know, the characters be like, oh, is Batman being scary and being stuff or whatever? Or is he a hero? And so you have instant conflict there. But it also allows the audience to think of Batman as an otherworldly figure, because when you're first introduced to him, you, like, as a kid, is it Batman? Is it a creature? Mm-hmm. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We're from the audience's perspective, right. We're not really supposed to know
exactly.
So Batman is this otherworldly figure up until his main introduction, in which he's sitting in the Batcave with his legs crossed reading the newspaper.
It's so great. He's just reading the paper, and he looks like you said, like...
He's Captain Kirk. He looks like Captain Kirk, just like, bet log, start date, September 6th, 1992, you know, the Gotham Gazette was really boring today.
It was so, like, just normal.
Yeah.
And you know that's intentional. Like, you know that everything's intentional. That the idea of, yeah, exactly what you said, like having the silhouette or the shadow of Man-Bat, and you're like, oh, is that like how people see him?
Right.
Like, is that Batman? That's just how people see him? Like, they're just terrified of this huge bat creature?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that something else? And it puts this like pulp spin on it. This, like, you know, 30s, 40s, like, creature from the dark lagoon type thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you're not sure exactly.
You're not sure what to think.
You're not sure what to think.
To believe your eyes or not, like, yeah, any of it.
I mean, as an adult, you're like, yeah, obviously, well, yeah, it's not Batman.
But
as a kid.
But even as an adult, having forgotten that this was a Man-Bat episode.
Oh, you didn't know.
I was like,
oh, okay.
Is that like just like artistic license of like, this is how people see him? Like, that's literally what I was, I forgot. I hadn't said it.
Oh, so you really did it. So,
oh, yeah. In the moment, I forgot what was happening. So I, yeah.
That's good. Then it did its job.
And it works on the child level and the adult level.
Bessie, and that's really where this show.
Yeah, it shines.
It shines really at the beginning. Beautifully designed show. But I mean, like, like, you have the intro, you know, with, you know, the bank robbery and all that stuff and bam, boo, all that stuff. Once you, like, Batman doesn't show up for the first, arguably, like five, six, seven minutes. Yeah, 7 minutes show. It's just called Batman.
Called Batman.
Batman and your main title character. That's a gutsy first episode for a kid's show.
Yeah. And the fact that they didn't do the easy thing and be like, we're going to show the origin story.
That not, you know, even close to showing the origin story.
You barely got any Bruce Wayne in it at all.
Yeah.
You got like 2 minutes of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, because just when he goes to see Dr. Langstrom and all of that stuff.
And then the phone call
where it's weird when he's using the Bruce Wayne voice. Hi, Lucia. That's so weird. Because Kevin Conroy's voice of Batman lies somewhere in the middle. Right? It's not the deep, dark, gravelly Batman, his Hamlet voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the, hi, I'm Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. I'm such and such, and I sound like an infomercial like, you know, I'm selling myself, you know, whatever. Buy Bruce Wayne. I swear to God, he's 100% genuine. You know, like, yeah. It rests somewhere in the middle. So to hear him to hear him sound like that high register Bruce Wayne,
it's
is
so weird.
So weird. It was also weird that Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. was not the voice of Alfred, in the first couple of episodes. And it's just like his voice does not match the body.
I know.
Like at all.
So strange.
Yeah. And arguably maybe that's because we're not used, like I'm not used to that voice, but there are just some characters where their voice does not go with what is, you know what I mean? That
it's
voice
true.
It does not go with the shape of that head. And Yeah.
You're so used to hearing Ephraim Zimbalist that you're just like, this is not right. You're not Alfred. Who are you? What's this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real interesting first episode. The design of Man-Bat is actually not overly similar to his Neil Adams comic origin, because if you look at Neil Adams' original image, his face is very much a bat. Like hardcore. He's got the weird nose and the big, you know, the big ears, and he doesn't look as fearsome and say, but this Man Bat is like Bruce Timm, like incredibly muscular, tiny waist design.
Yes.
And it's a
many heads of chest.
What's that from?
That was us when we did the episodes, the Batman and Superman crossover episodes.
Oh yeah.
And we, before Batman v Superman came out.
Oh yeah.
And we pointed out how their chests just were like two or three heads wide.
Oh yeah. Many heads of chest. That's right. I'm glad I found myself funny in my own.
That was you.
Yeah. I'm hysterical. Mm. Anyway. But the face is almost like it has this like gargoyle-esque demon quality to it.
It very much felt gargoyle. Like the gargoyles from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or from the TV show Gargoyles. Gargoyles.
Yeah.
That show.
You watched. I did not watch it.
Yeah, I know. I know it's on DVD in places. There are people who have told me that before. People who have it. I'm still waiting for digital.
Is it not like streaming anywhere? It's not on Amazon Prime or Netflix?
Nothing. And that was a well put together show. Uh-huh. Like even people who have watched it as adults and gone back, they go like, some of it's goofy, but it's still well. It still holds together.
You've referenced it several times on the podcast.
The show was great. You gotta love a show where the main characters, one of their arch villains is a Tony Stark knockoff, but instead of an Iron Man suit, he wears a gargoyle Iron Man suit. And Macbeth shows up and is a real person like does things. That's cool for some people. But I mean, if you're listening to this show, you probably thought it was cool too.
You're probably one of them.
So yeah. I had a Man-Bat action figure when I was a kid, actually.
Nice. He was this version? Favorite.
This version, yeah. One of my favorites. Because his back had a little T push button on it.
Okay.
Like you'd push into his back and his wings would flap.
Oh, cool.
And the points of articulation were pretty cool. And I definitely still have it. It actually, right across from you, see that white box right there?
Where the yellow Power Ranger is?
Yeah, that one. Pretty sure it's in that box.
Cool.
Pretty sure it's in that box. Do you want me to go open the box right now to see if it's in there?
I think you want to go.
Excuse me for a second.
I'll entertain the people.
Yeah, entertain the people. Was the first time? I'll ask you a question. When was the first time that you watched Batman the Animated Series?
So I think the first time that I watched Batman the Animated Series, good handoff there. I think the first time that I watched Batman the Animated Series was probably, I saw Superman the Animated Series first. I know that for sure. I watched that. The primetime premiere of that. In fact, that's why I was a little bit, not surprised, but I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense that Batman had a primetime premiere too when it started like 4 years earlier. I started watching after that. Once Superman had been on for a little while and they started doing the Batman Superman crossover, or they started doing the back-to-back episodes, I started watching it then because I wanted to see Superman. And so I would watch Batman, and then Superman would come on, and I'd be like, all right, cool, time for my favorite. That's how I started watching it. And so I've seen not every episode. I've seen every episode of Superman the Animated Series more than once, mm-hmm. At least twice. But once as a kid and then once as a college kid. But Batman, I've seen a dozen or so.
Okay.
Once each.
Oh, okay.
Tonight's episode was one of the ones that I've on Leatherwing is one of the ones that I've seen before. But not in a long time.
I had almost I actually honestly wasn't listening to any of that because I was looking in the box. So I'm going to need you to tell me the whole story again. No.
Right now.
Yeah, right now. Nah, I'll just listen back later.
That's the fun of this.
Yeah. We can listen to ourselves. Somebody's caught us. No, I had the opposite where I watched this show. Honestly, I watched it on and off when I was a kid. It was a little boring for me sometimes.
I can actually kind of see that. Yeah, depending. I felt the same way in a lot of ways.
Yeah, depending on the episode. But Superman was cleaner and fresher and a little more action oriented and all that. So Superman is what really kind of brought me in that way. Mm-hmm. And then when Batman joined up with the Kids WB for its season four, that's really what got me into the rest of this show, is going backwards. So season four of this show is actually my favorite, and many people don't feel that way. They go the opposite direction.
Interesting. That's what it was on Fox Kids. It was better, and then when it hit WB, it wasn't as good.
It wasn't as good, and I feel the opposite. I liked it more on Kids WB.
Interesting.
I might have been maybe more the right age. Like, I might have been at the better age spot for
that was
it.
When you hit the sweet spot for the show, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It just happened to work out that way.
Yeah. I never appreciated as a child, and there's really no way I could have, the beautiful design of the show. And it's always talked about. It's always lauded and held up for the beautiful design that it had. But, you know, rewatching this episode now really brought it home for me again, like just how every frame is like a piece of art.
Every frame. Yeah.
And I mean, we're talking about a hand animated show, hand drawn show. Very, very much based on, I see a lot of the Superman Fleischer cartoon influence.
Tons
of it. And it's, of course, the show is famously, you know, it was going to be so dark that they drew it on black paper. For some of it.
Sort of. The way you describe that is they tried to design the show on white paper, as traditional cartoons, but they found the better way to get the deep, rich colors was to paint it on matte black paper and then paint on the black instead.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it's not because the show was going to be super dark. It's that they yeah.
So, but it made for a dark, like,
oh, yeah.
Gotham as a dark city, a dark place, visually dark. And the look of that is so stunning and so immediately noticeable. You know, you immediately see the difference that makes, and just the deep, rich blacks of the dark night.
Yes.
Night with an N.
Yeah.
You know,
and the
K as well.
Of the K-night as well.
But you know what I mean? Like, you can really hear the see the rich blacks of the nighttime.
Yeah.
And it really stands out, and it really makes a difference in the look of the show. Whereas, like, Superman, by contrast, was much brighter, you know,
they
always
still,
blue
but
skies.
They still had that Art Deco thing going for it, but this was also the time where, like, they had, like, their little fun computers attached to their desks, and, you know.
The computers with round screens.
Yeah.
Oval screens.
The oval screens, the dot matrix,
practical.
And they had, like, 12 buttons. Like,
right.
12 buttons on
exactly.
them. Exactly. Yeah, 12 keys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I loved all of that, though. Like, I still love that design.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy when Batman came in and they adopted it.
Yes.
And I'm a little sad. I still, that Justice League kind of did away with that.
Yeah.
Like, they moved into a modern setting. Like, it kind of really went from here's the 30s to here's the faux 30s to here's modern day.
Yeah, it did.
It kind of went and brushed it all aside.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That is too bad. That was kind of a loss. But what we got for it, you know, we got the cool gadgets. We got, we got all kinds of cool stuff in Justice League and Unlimited.
Yeah.
That we, you know, we not that we didn't have it in the Batman and Superman shows, but it brought a new flavor. But you're right. That was something lost. That we lost that Art Deco cool look that both of the previous shows had.
Actually, I think this might be specific to rating standards, but there's a lot of, if you watch the show in progression, there's a lot of guns on the show with real bullets,
that's right.
which was very no-no at the time.
Yes.
Like, if you watch, like, Spider-Man, the Fox Kids show that was on the time, like, they all had, like, high-tech laser weapons all this different stuff, and so how was Batman getting away with all this?
Right.
Is when they wrote it in the scripts as to what the weapons were going to be, they were called Dark Deco weapons. So did you not know this?
No.
Oh, I thought you knew this.
No.
Oh, new information. I'll tell you.
Yeah,
not
yeah, teach
in a,
me. Teach me.
I'll tell you a not in a passing way anymore.
Professor right? Tim.
So the ratings board is very difficult. For kids shows, particularly to get things across, you know, to, every time a character fell off a building, even if it was like from 50 feet up or 50 stories or whatever from space, they had to moan. You had to have a shot of them moaning to show that they were still alive.
They were alive when they landed.
Yeah. Like even in this show, the guy, like the guard falls out the window in the thing and then it's in the paper that like guard injured at whatever.
Yeah.
And I turned to you and I was like, in the movies, that guy'd be dead.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because it's different for a movie, but right. for a kid show, all of those, they have to be alive.
Right. Got to keep that Y7 rating.
Yeah, exactly. Y7.
Actually, 92 might have been. 92 was definitely before TV ratings.
That stuff, yeah.
It was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember when that started.
But I mean, there's still a rating system, but you just didn't see it.
It was more. It was more. Standards and practices, but it wasn't like the rating in the corner of the
right. Exactly.
It was like the network wouldn't sign off on it.
Right.
But yeah.
And so they got away with all these like guns and this and all that stuff because they called them dark deco weapons in the thing, and that sounded vague and foreign enough that it wasn't just a gun. I mean,
they signed off on
it. You can't, in 1992, you can't go out. You're not buying a Tommy gun that,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they don't exist anymore.
Right.
And so, but that's how they got away with handguns and all that stuff.
See, I didn't know that
because the rating had to be approved before it was animated.
Right. Right.
And
right.
So, and then
I see.
Yeah. But so I mean, this first episode had Batman like bleeding from the mouth all over his face. He was bleeding.
Yeah.
And that got toned back like very quickly.
Well, you pointed out to me before too, in this very same vein, as we were watching it, you said, you know, if it wasn't for the need to satisfy the ratings and the network and to have no killing because it was a kid show and they weren't allowed to do that on TV for kids, you know, that might not be a thing in Batman anymore where he's not a killer.
Like not a killer.
That might not be a thing that we would have grown up with if it wasn't for that show.
That's right. Because like, Batman's a killer in every movie.
Since 89 onward.
Since 89 onward, he killed people.
There are people, I mean, and it's not, they don't always pay attention. People are probably listening and being like, what are you talking about? It's not really paid much attention to, it's not drawn attention to, but there are many times throughout those movies where he throws someone off a building or whatever and you don't hear them land, and you're like, well, they're definitely dead.
They're definitely like, dead. Just knowing how bodies and physics work, like, they're definitely dead. Michael Keaton kills a lot of people. He puts a bomb in someone's pants and he blows up.
Right.
Like, Michael Keaton is a killer. Mm-hmm. Val Kilmer a little less so, and George Clooney a little less so than that. But they're all killers.
I'm sorry. George Clooney killed that franchise, which is worse.
Nah, it's not his fault. it's not his fault.
He's still, you know, I hope I meet him one day because I would love to get my money back for a movie I didn't see in theaters.
You want your $5?
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah,
does
I know that. He does. Yeah,
if you meet him and you say, I saw Batman and Robin in theaters, he will give you your money back.
Yeah. I wouldn't ask for it back because I was a kid. You know, I didn't pay for it.
I kind of just want to frame the money that I get from George Clooney, though.
That's also true. But I got this $5 from George Clooney.
Could you sign it?
Could you sign it? I know it won't be legal tender anymore, but you can sign it anyway. So to go back to this, to the box Man-Bat was not in here.
He's not in there.
No, but would you like to know what else is in the box?
I would love to know what's in the box.
So, yeah, I thought so. That's why I brought it over. Because it's a hodgepodge of nonsense, let me tell you.
I see all sorts of things here.
Okay, so I have an action, it's all action figure stuff. This is Bane from The Batman.
Oh my god.
Is it from The Batman? Yeah, from The Batman, that like more Asian influenced inspired one that was on Kids WB. And he was like all skinny guy and then he would like roid out and be this big red Bane dude and see like all these black bands were like the regular suit and it would expand out. I totally forgot that was even a thing until I saw this action figure.
Wow.
What else is in here? There is a The Batman little action figure, one is like giant blade things that like shoot out and grapple. There's a, what would you call this? This is a
Green Power Ranger?
Eight inch?
Eight
inch, 9 inch?
I think it's 8 inch.
Yeah, a green Ranger, full articulation.
I was like, it's a Green Ranger, Tim.
It's a Green Ranger. I got a Carnage from Spider-Man.
Oh, man, look at that.
Look at that.
He
skips leg day a lot, obviously, because like he does back a lot.
And fingers, apparently.
But he skips leg day. I got a Dr. Doom in here.
Oh, look at that.
Who's wearing a turquoise cape.
Yes,
because
he is,
apparently
isn't
he can't match his green little green little dress.
That would be too hard.
Nope, too hard. I got a couple of other Power Rangers here. I got a 12-inch tall... I got a 12-inch tall Spot action figure
look
from
that.
The Spot from Spider-Man. But... if you'll notice, he's making the Spider-Man web shooting thing.
Oh, he is.
So this is definitely just a Spider-Man doll they painted white and put spots on.
Oh, my God.
They
you're so right.
They didn't redesign the doll
they
at
didn't.
All.
You're so right.
Because he still has the Spider-Man.
That's so lazy. Thing. That's like peak lazy.
Isn't that peak
lazy? They just
laziness?
Use the same mold.
Yeah, because even see where his, like, his eyes are, you can see like where the
they other... just use the same mold. That's so crazy.
So lazy. But I have a another 12-inch Spider-Man symbiote suit.
Yeah.
One that has good articulation. I have a little... 6-inch Mysterio that comes with a cape that I just dropped.
That's okay.
Same. I have a 12-inch
oh my god
Demo Goblin.
Wow.
Which is a super hardcore 90s Spider-Man
that
villain pull.
Super.
When everyone was a goblin.
Yeah.
Wow. Let me see. This is fun. I have a Ben Affleck Daredevil figure.
Oh my god, that is Affleck.
It is Affleck, and the little billy clubs I think come out of his little pouch there. Oh my goodness, this is very difficult because now they're all in my lap. I have an Electro that's wearing a backpack of some kind for reasons.
That's not Loki?
No, it's Electro. Oh, he does. Well, here's my other comic lesson for you. So back when there was only 4-point coloring, it was 3-point.
Yeah.
There was a 3-point coloring system for comics.
Yep.
Up until the late 70s or the 80s. Yeah. And so generally speaking, from about 1938. To the 1970s, good guys wore blue, red, and yellow, and bad guys wore green and purple.
Hmm.
And so if you line them up, think about just Marvel. Think about good guys for a second.
Always green, purple.
Captain America, Iron Man.
Yep, red. Blue.
Thor, mm-hmm. Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
The Fantastic Four,
mm-hmm.
Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
They're all red and blue.
Yeah.
And then if you go to the other side, you look at villains. Electro, Green Goblin, Doctor Doom, the Skrulls, Galactus. They're all purple. They're all Loki. They're all purple and green and yellow.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then the Hulk
was originally gray.
Gray.
But then he was still, when they changed it to green, Hulk was still, he was like the villain of his book.
Right.
So that's why he's green.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's fun comics history for you. Let's see. I got a Spider-Man Rhino.
Oh, man.
Oh, I remember this one, because if you push the little button in his back, his head pops out. There
it
goes.
Oh, my God,
boom.
Look at that.
Now he's got a really long neck. He's giraffe man.
He's a giraffe rhino.
God, what else is in
Doc
here?
Ock.
I got a hobgoblin with a glider. This Doc Ock was from the 90s Spider-Man show, is a McDonald's toy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I got
That's a pretty nice looking McDonald's toy.
Yeah, actually it is. I got a Bruce Wayne animated series Batman guy. You could dress him up.
Is that
he's got a red shirt on and is like a?
Is that a McDonald's or Burger King or something? It strikes me like a Burger King toy for some reason.
I don't think it was.
No?
I got a Chris O'Donnell Robin figure. You can also dress him up.
Can you give me a refund?
I got a Mickey Rourke Marv from Sin City. This was a birthday gift many years ago. I remember this. And a Yellow Ranger, another Green Ranger, and the Piece de Resistance. I don't know what's happening here. I have a Punisher, but his eyes are glowing red.
I see
he's
that.
He's got a top, and he's got a mark on the top of his forehead.
Yeah.
This also, to me, feels lazy, because if you look at his Punisher gear, he's wearing a collared shirt.
Yeah, that feels like they use another mold for that.
It's another mold, yeah. But he's got a little nice faux leather
That's
jacket.
That's a cool leather jacket he's wearing there.
Yeah. This was a fun dip into the box of toys that have nothing. There's a lot less Batman in here than I expected.
Yeah, actually, yeah. There's a lot more Marvel in there than I expected. But you were more of a Marvel kid.
I was more of a Marvel kid because it was available.
Yeah.
But Batman was always my
number one.
But
you're number one.
I didn't have it.
Guy.
You are my number one. And I. Yes, sir. Bob, one of my favorite.
Bob
the Goon, one of my favorites. That's fun. There's definitely another box of action figures that's just Batman stuff, I guarantee you.
That would be, you know, I
probably,
wish that...
Probably at my parents' house.
Yeah. My stuff is all at my parents' house, and I wish that my parents' house were not so quite so far away, because I would love to bring that
Oh, I'll do this again. Yeah. I'll go home and get it. My parents will be thrilled that they're not in the basement anymore.
Well, the thing is, I would love to get it away from my parents' house, but then...
Where
am I going to keep it? Where are you
putting it, boy? You best not bring it here, boy.
I'm not bringing it here.
Yeah.
But I have a little, I think I told you about this, a little plastic suitcase that has a picture of, I'll show you a picture, I have a picture of it somewhere, has a picture of all of the DC heroes on the front of it, and that's where all my action figures are, in this little plastic suitcase.
That's fun. Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're definitely going to have to bring that.
Yeah, I will have
one day. Any final thoughts on Batman, on Leatherwing specifically, because it's what we're really talking about.
It didn't really feel like a pilot in a lot of ways, because it just sort of...
It just drops you right in.
Exactly.
Like, Harvey Dent's there, and he's got like a line, but if you don't know that it's Harvey Dent, or that's going to be Two-Face, then, oh well,
right.
Too bad. Yeah, when Commissioner Gordon with his little whipped cream hair. And,
a little dollop of Cool Whip on top of his head.
You just got to put a little cherry on top.
That's all you need. It's a Gordon Sunday.
It's not something that's not an appetizing. No. Yeah. I'll take a Commissioner Gordon with a side of Harvey Bullocks. Oh, no. Double quarter pounder with cheese. You got it.
Yeah. Exactly.
No. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I got. Didn't feel like a premiere, but it was a really good episode regardless. I had forgotten, you know, how beautiful the show is. I couldn't appreciate it as a kid, but I'm glad that I did. Now it made me want to watch more. We should do some more of this.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll definitely do another one.
And those are kind of my closing thoughts. What about you?
That scene where Batman drives out of the Batcave in the Batmobile was really long. Like,
it was.
There's a long scene of him driving down the road.
It was. And there were a lot of glamour shots of the Batmobile and the Batcave and all the different gadgets and everything, because they had to set it up.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Like, look at the grappling hook. Look at it grapple.
And I maintain that grappling hook is the best one. It makes the most sense.
I agree.
Yeah. It's got a handle. Yep. Like, you wouldn't want to hold on to the handle of a gun when you fire it off, but you would want to hold on to something that your whole hand can grasp onto and, like,
exactly.
have that leverage. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. So you can find us on beerwithgeeks.com or on all the places that podcasts are found, including iTunes, Satchel, Overcast, and Google Play. You can rate and review us on iTunes or all other places. 4 and 5 stars are much appreciated. Mm-hmm. You can also find us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com or Facebook or the Twitter.
Absolutely. Those iTunes reviews and such would be really, really awesome.
Yeah, you can also find Frank and myself on Supergirl TV Talk, where we talk about CW's TV show Supergirl, which is starting up again soon.
Mm-hmm.
You can check all those episodes out. Also on, I think they're on CW Seed. They're on Netflix September 10th.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, and a month before the premiere of season 2.
Yep.
Season 1 will be on Netflix.
Go. People have say off and on about like whether, you know, like I've tried and it's not for me, blah blah blah, or whatever. I say give it to the end of episode 7.
Mm-hmm, yeah, episode 7 is where it hits.
It's a pilot show, it's a pilot season. You got to give it a bigger chunk of time than you would other shows.
Yeah,
and I say episode seven is really where there's a lot of game changing.
There's a
things.
Major turning point.
Yeah, and it really picks up.
You can find all of our podcasts at thoughtbubbleaudio.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you find this show and Supergirl TV Talk and The Marketers Next Door that I do with my fiance Marissa. All that fun stuff.
Good stuff.
Cool.
Okay. Well, until next time.
Cheers.